Welcome to Zichur Dasim Manim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechur Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayin. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Shlosh Advarim Asa Moshe Medaito, V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. Moshe did 3 things based on his own understanding, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him in each instance. Number one, Moshe added 1 day of abstinence in preparation for Kabbalah's Torah. Hashem agreed, and the Shekhinah did not rest on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, which was after the day Moshe had added. Number two, Moshe separated from his wife after the Aseres Dibros. Hashem agreed, and when he told Moshe to tell him to go back to the wives, he said to Moshe, "Vata po amodi madi, but as for you, Moshe, stand here with me." And number three, Moshe broke the luchos. Reish Lakish learns from the pasuk, referring to the luchos, "Asher shibarta," that which you broke. The Kosh Baruch Hu said, "Yasher kochachosh shibarta," your strength shall be true to its mark because you broke the tablets. Rashi explains that Reish Lakish interpreted the word "asher," which, to mean ishur, an affirmation. Point number two, there's a Malchukas Amorim regarding the scope of Shabbos laws that were commanded in Mara. Rava holds they were commanded to observe the primary laws of Shabbos, but not the laws of Tchumim, of Shabbos boundaries. According to Rava, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Shabbos and arrived in Midbar Sinai the next day. Rava Chabar Yaakov holds that the laws of Tchumim were also given at Mara. Therefore, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Sunday, not on Shabbos, and arrived in Midbar Sinai the same day. And point number three, a Tana taught that the first of Nisan Nato Eser Ataros, it took 10 crowns, meaning 10 things began on that day. Number one, creation. Number two, the offerings from the Nesim. Number three, the Kahuna. Number four, the Avoda. Number five, the heavenly fire that came on the Mizbeach. Number six, eating Kachim. Number seven, the Shechina residing in the Mishkan. Number eight, Birchas Kohanim. Number nine, the prohibition against Bamos. And number 10, the first of the months of the year. So once again, let's review. Point number one, it was taught in a Braisa. Moshe did 3 things based on his own understanding, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him in each instance. Moshe added 1 day of abstinence in preparation for Kabbalah's Torah. Hashem agreed, and the Shekhinah did not rest on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, which was after the day that Moshe added. Number two, Moshe separated from his wife after the Aseres Dibros. Hashem agreed, and when he told Moshe to tell everyone to go back to their wives, he said to Moshe, "Vata po amodi madi, but as for you, Moshe, stand here with me." Number three, Moshe broke the luchos. Reish Lakish learns from the pasuk, referring to the luchos, "Asher shibarta," that which you broke. The Kosh Baruch Hu said, "Yasher kochachosh shibarta," your strength shall be true to its mark, because you broke the tablets. Rashi explains that Reish Lakish interpreted the word "asher," which, to mean ishur, an affirmation. Point number two, this Malchukas Amorim regarding the scope of Shabbos laws that were commanded in Mara. Rava holds they were commanded to observe the primary laws of Shabbos, but not the laws of Tchumim, of Shabbos boundaries. According to Rava, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Shabbos and arrived at Midbar Sinai the next day. Rav Acher bar Yaakov holds that the laws of Tchumim were also given at Mara. Therefore, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Sunday and arrived at Midbar Sinai the same day. And point number three, the Tana taught that the first of Nisan Natal Eser Ataros. It took 10 crowns, meaning 10 things began on that day. Number one, creation. Number two, the offerings from the Nesim. Number three, the Kahuna. Number four, Avoda. Number five, the heavenly fire on the Mizbeach. Number six, eating Kachim. Number seven, the Shekhinah residing the Mishkan. Number eight, Birkas Kohanim. Number nine, the prohibition against Bamos. And number 10, the first of the months of the year. All right, so now we go to our Simra Pei Zayin. And in this case, we've got many suggestions. Here are just a few. We had a lot of pizzas, puzzles, positive, peas, posing for a picture. Then we had the Safe, Fez hat, fizz. But the second most popular one was puzz, variations of gold, lots of types of gold jewelry and so on. And the number one suggestion that came in by a mile was the Pez candy dispenser, which I grew up with, where you have this candy dispenser, you pull back the head of this character, and out comes a candy brick. So we had a lot of Pez candies, and the second was Pez gold things. So I'm actually going to go with a suggestion that came from Binyamin Michel from Boca Raton and Eli Bahar from Abat Mei Chemish. They suggested a golden Pez candy dispenser. So I'm going to go with that suggestion. So thank you, everybody, for your suggestions. If you chose gold or Pez candy, you're a winner. But thank you to Binyamin and Ellie for the golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with 3 times, was to be used within the Tchum on Shabbos and featured 10 candy bricks, each stamped with a crown. Once again, in slow motion. The golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser, that means Ron Duff, Pei Zayin. The golden Pez candy dispenser given to the student the teacher agreed with 3 times, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Shlosh Advarim Asa Moshe Medaito, V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. Moshe did 3 things based on his own understanding, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him in each instance. Number one, Moshe added one day of abstinence in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hashem agreed and the Shekhinah did not rest on Har Sinai until Shabbos morning, which was after the day that Moshe had added. Number two, Moshe separated from his wife after the Aseret Dibros. Hashem agreed, and when he told Moshe to tell everyone to go back to their wives, he said to Moshe, Va'ata po amodi madi, but as for you, Moshe, stand here with me. And number three, Moshe broke the luchos. Reish Lakish learns from the pasuk referring to the luchos, Asher Shibarta, that which you broke, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yasher Kochokosh Shibarta, your strength shall be true to its mark, because you broke the tablets. And Rashi explains that Reish Lakish interpreted the word Asher, which, to mean Ishur, an affirmation. So the golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, was to be used within the Tchum on Shabbos, which reminds us, there's a Machlokas Amoraim regarding the scope of Shabbos laws that were commanded in Mara. Rava holds they were commanded to observe the primary laws of Shabbos, but not the laws of Tchumim, Shabbos boundaries. According to Rava, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Shabbos and arrived at Midbar Sinai the next day. Rav Acha bar Yaakov holds that the laws of Tchumim were also given at Mara. Therefore, Bnei Israel left Rephidim on Sunday and arrived in Midbar Sinai the same day. So the golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, was to be used within the Tchum on Shabbos and featured 10 candy bricks, each stamped with a crown. Which reminds us, the Tanakh taught that the first of Nisan Natal Esther Ataros took 10 crowns, meaning 10 things began on that day. Number 1, creation. Number 2, the offerings from the Nesim. Number 3, the Kohuna. Number 4, the Avoda. Number 5, the heavenly fire on the Mizbeach. Number 6, eating Kadshim. Number 7, the Shekhinah reciting the Mishkan. Number 8, Birkos Kohanim. Number 9, the prohibition against Bamos. And number 10, the first of the months of the year. So once again, the golden Pez candy dispenser, given to the student the teacher agreed with three times, was to be used within the Tchum on Shabbos, and featured 10 candy bricks, each stamped with the crown. Now it's time for our 4 blot back Chazorah. Daf Peh Gimel, so the Simper Gimel is a pig, so here goes. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races. Pig races, that means we're on Daf Peh Gimel. The Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tuma Ziva, which reminds us, it was time to brace it from the pasuk regarding Tuma Ziva, Dabru al Bnei Israel, we learn that only Bnei Israel are susceptible to Tumas Ziva, but not non-Jews. However, the Rabban decreed upon non-Jews that they be regarded as Zavim in all matters. This decree was imposed on non-Jews from the age of 9 and older to discourage Jewish boys from playing with these children so as not to be seduced into engaging in sodomy, which is brought in Gomorrah and Avodah Zorah. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tumas Ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that ships are not makabel tuma based on a pasuk in Mishlei, where Shlomo HaMelech enumerates 4 things that a person cannot know, one of them being Derech Haniyah B'Lev Yam, the way of the ship in the heart of the sea. The Gemara explains that a ship is like the sea, just as the sea is not makabel tuma, so too a ship is not makabel tuma. An alternative source for a ship not being makabel tuma is brought in the Braisa. The Braisa says that Hanani learns it from an analogy drawn between wooden vessels and a sack, both mentioned in the pasuk regarding Tuma Sheretz. Just as a sack is carried at times full of items and at times when empty, so too any vessel which is susceptible to Tumah must be made to be carried when full or when empty. A ship which is too heavy to be carried when full, therefore is not makabel Tumah. The Gemara presents the practical differences between these two sources. So the Jewish kids did not take part in the community-wide pig races because of Tumah Ziva, choosing instead to take a tour on a pure ship to Torah Island, where everybody lives in tents of Torah. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings 2 explanations of the pasuk, Zos Torah Adam Kiyamus Bohel. This is the Torah, a man who dies in a tent. Rabbi Yonason learns, Lo'olam Yimna Adam Es Atzmo Beis HaMidrash Midivei Torah Vafil B'Shas Misa. A person should never prevent himself from attending the Beis HaMidrash or refrain from words of Torah, even at the moment of death. Reish Lakish learns, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin El B'Misha Meimis Atzmo Aleha. The words of Torah are not retained except by one who kills himself over the Torah. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Simper Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. This spaceship was carried out to the launch pad. Launch pad, that means run duff, pay dalit. This spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, which reminds us, Rav has said that according to Hananya, the rule that a ship that can be carried even when it's laden is makabel tuma, even applies to a ship that is so heavy that it needs to be carried by oxen. The Gemara brings a proof based on Mishnayos and Kelim, through which we learned that an exceptionally large wagon is pulled by oxen for transporting stones, can be makabel tuma if it can contain medium-sized pomegranates, the shear to give a wooden vessel the status of a keli. So this spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, outfitted with a clay couch that can't be makabel tuma's midras, which reminds us the Gemara seeks the source for Bryce's ruling that earthenware vessels are not makabel tuma's midras. Rav Chizkiya learns from a hekesh in the pasuk regarding Azav's couch, which is tamei tumas midras, that says the isha sheyigab mishkabo, and a man who will touch his couch, just as the zav can attain tahara through tefillah and a mikvah, so too the couch must be made from material that can attain a tahara and a mikvah. This excludes an earthenware vessel from tumas midras. The Gemara cites two more alternate sources. So the spaceship was carried out to the launch pad by oxen, outfitted with a clay couch that can't be makabel tumas midras, and on a mission to plant five different seeds in a garden patch on a different planet. Which reminds us, the next mission the Perek provides as source, that one can plant five different seeds in a garden patch that is six tefachim square and not violate the prohibition of kalayim. The pasuk from Yeshayahu describing the blossoming of the Jewish people at the end of the day says, Ki ka'aretz totzi simcha ukagana zero tatzmiya. For like the earth gives forth its plant, and like a garden causes its seeds to sprout. Rav Yehuda clarifies in the Gemara that each word in the pasuk that denotes growth or vegetation is a reference to a separate species. Totzi, simcha, betatzmiach each represent one species, and zeruel, being plural, represents two more for a total of five. The Rabbanan determined that five species sown in a six fucking patch will not draw nourishment from each other. Daf pehe. So the simran daf pehe is a dentist checking someone's mouth. So here goes. The dentist, that means we're on daf pehe. The dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient from Zeir's mouth, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the pasuk that teaches us that the Rabbanan can be relied on to determine the five points of horticulture is, Losasik vul re'acha asher gabul rishonim, do not move the boundary of your neighbor which the early ones marked out. The pasuk comes to teach that one should not encroach on the boundary that the early ones established for planting. And Rashi explains that planting too close to the boundary will weaken the neighbor's field. It was said in the name of Yonasan that the early ones are those mentioned in the pasuk, El b'nei Seir ha'chori yoshvei aretz. These are the sons of Seir, the chori inhabitants of the land. Inhabitants of the land, Yoshvei Aretz teaches they knew which land was good for growing certain species. Chori teaches they could smell marichin the land to know which species to plant there. And Chivi teaches they would taste the ground like a snake, like a chivya, determine what is best to plant. So the dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient from Seir's mouth, who had just come from planting in the 6x6 internal area of the vegetable patch, which reminds us, Ravasi said that the 6x6 dimensions of the garden patch mentioned in the Mishnah was referring to the internal area of the patch, excluding its borders which were used for walkways. If the borders which were typically a tefach wide were included in the dimensions, that would only leave an area 4x4 tefachim wide, and therefore there would only be two tefachim between the center seed and the seeds along the sides. There needs to be at least a distance of three tefachim between seeds to not violate the prohibition of kalayim. So the dentist was shocked when he discovered a mouthful of dirt in his patient's from Seir's mouth, who had just come from planting in the 6x6 internal area of his vegetable patch, staggered amongst other patches. Which reminds us that Melchokas and Marayim regarding where the Mishnah's vegetable patch was planted. Rav said it was planted in a barren area where there was nothing around it. And Rashi explains that since the Mishnah said that four rows were planted along the sides, that would only leave a distance of two tefachim between the seeds and those of an adjacent patch, given the two tefachim of walkways between them. Shmuel says it was planted amongst other patches, in which all the patches were planted in a staggered fashion to ensure a distance of three tefachim between the adjacent seeds. Daf Pei Vav, so the Simur Pei Vav is police. Here goes. The police, that means we're on Daf Pei Vav. The police were told to prepare for 3 days, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that the source for the halacha that a woman who emits semen on the third day after intercourse is Tamei is from the Pasuk in the Parsha regarding the preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Hayu nechonim l'shoshes yamim. Be ready for a 3-day period. Rashi explains that since the 3-day period was prescribed to give the women the opportunity to immerse themselves after intercourse and be in a state of tahara for Kabbalah Satorah, we learn that semen remains viable for up to 3 days, and its discharge is metame, the woman. And the entire daf is centered around this topic. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak, which reminds us, Rav Avinu bar Abba said that Moshe always ascended Har Sinai at daybreak, and he descended at daybreak. We know that he ascended at daybreak based on the pasuk, V'yashkin Moshe b'buk v'yal Har Sinai. And Moshe rose early in the morning and ascended to Har Sinai. We know that he descended at daybreak based on a hekesh in the following pasuk, Lech reid v'alisa ata v'aron imach. Go, descend, that you shall ascend and Aaron with you. Just as Moshe's ascent was at daybreak, so too his descent was at daybreak. So the police were told to prepare for 3 days before ascending the mountain at daybreak to seek evidence as to when the Aseret HaDibros were given. Which reminds us, there's Malkukas Tanaim regarding when the Aseret HaDibros were given. The Rabbanan hold they were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi holds they were given on the 7th of Sivan. Rava brings proofs from Sukkim that they both agree that B'nai Yisrael arrived at Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and that their Torah was given on Shabbos. They disagree as to which day of the week Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on. Rabbi Yossi maintains that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, making Shabbos the 7th of Sivan. The Rabbanon hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, which would result in Shabbos being the 6th of Sivan. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here we go. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that Moshe ascended and descended Har Sinai at daybreak? That's on daf Peivav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that a kli cheres, that earthenware, is not makabel tumas midras? That's on daf Peidal. Great. Number 3. Which daf do you learn two different pshatim in the pasuk Adam ki yamus ba'ohel, a man when he dies in the tent? That's on daf Pei Gimel. Great. Number 4. Which daf do you learn that the first of Nisan has 10 crowns? That's on daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn that Tuma Ziva was decreed on non-Jews? That's on daf Pei Gimel. Great. Number 6. Which daf do we have in Machlokas when the Aseret Dibros were given? That's on daf Peivav. Great. Number 7. Which daf do you learn that the 6x6 area of the garden patch was referring to the internal area? That's on daf Pehe. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that according to Hananya, a ship carried by oxen is Mekabel Tumah? That's on daf Peidal. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you learn that Moshe did 3 things on his own that Hashem agreed with? That's on daf Pei Zayin. Great. And number 10, which daf do you learn what one should do if he has trouble relieving himself? That's on daf Pei Beis. Excellent. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which daf do you learn that the Baal Bais is Botzei, he breaks the bread, but the Oreach is one who's Mevarech, so he can say the Yehi Ratzon? That's on daf Memvav. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a question whether the text in the Brach is Hamotzi or Motzi? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Great. And number 3, which daf do you learn that Borei Morei Ha'esh is set on a light that was lit for illumination? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz, plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldham Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.